There is nothing hotter on the entire internet right now than membership communities. Everybody and their mom are talking about them. A lot of them suck, but accounting firms are actually perfectly positioned to do a killer version of this because you're already the hub for a certain type of entrepreneur and you have a unique perspective of expertise that no one else can offer. Who else is going to build the membership community for beekeepers with the trust and the expertise of an accounting professional? And none of us identify as community runners. Like, let's just get that right out there. Nobody's like, oh, finally, I've been waiting to do this. This is perfect for me. But I just want to think of this as me pitching you on why this is worth doing in your firm. I think it's probably the highest leveraged new source of revenue that you could add this year. Come on in, let's talk about it. I've had, I think, 3 or 4 people just in the wild, like DM me or email me in the last maybe 2 weeks saying, do you have any tips for how to do this? I'm thinking about it. And when we did that episode last week that was like, you know, the first single person $10 million accounting firm, somehow I'm just an idiot. I didn't bring in membership communities. And let me just like give you some quick math here of the economics of this to show you how compelling it is. When we were doing that episode of how could a single person practice get to $10 million in revenue, we're doing all sorts of gymnastics around, you know, digital products and cohort-based courses that people go through together. And it is all on the back of an insane amount of perceived value of this person who's definitely like a micro celebrity in the space for people to be willing to pay these prices. But let's just compare this to how much revenue you can generate with a moderate sized community. A couple examples here. Now, online communities are generally priced in a very premium way. And the trap to look out for here is you're going to be like, well, my average client pays me X dollars per year. And this is how much it costs, you know, for the accounting client and to get a tax return done, all these things. Throw all of that out when it comes to communities, because the community is something completely different. They're not getting value from you. They are getting some value from you. They're getting value from the other people in the community. And that delivery of value has absolutely nothing to do with the other ways that you're delivering value to the client. It means non-clients can enter the community. It basically means, like, do not consider how you price other work relative to the community. They're completely disconnected. So thinking through a few scenarios of like just how lucrative this can be. Let's say you're going to run a community for $250 a month. And this is like absolute bare minimum. Unless you are just working with like, folks that are just starting their businesses brand new or something like that, this community should not be under $250 a month. And that starting price for your community is the lowest that it will ever be. Generally, best practice is over time to increase the price just for new members. So we're going to start at $250 a month, which is very humble for a community for business owners. Let's say you can get 50 people in there in the first year. And we're going to talk more about like, what is the hook that would actually get that many people in the door day one? 50 people in a $250 a month community, which on the spectrum of communities I'm seeing online is not expensive in any way. That's 150 grand in revenue. Now, not unlike SaaS, these things kind of have a tendency to just sort of grow on their own through referrals and all that. You got to work out like a marketing cadence, like you're plugging it in the newsletter or something like that so that more people find it. But it doesn't take much growth for this to get even more compelling. I shot next Sunday's YouTube video is going to be, the main channel video is going to be all about communities. And the scenario we ran through there was basically, if in year two people join a month, that community is going to be up over $250,000 a year. And then if in year three, you increase the price from $250 to $350 a month, but just for new members, and then you're adding 5 members a month, your community is pushing $500,000 in revenue then. And it is only a 134 member community at that point. That's not a big community. We're talking about $500,000 in revenue. And this is so much less work than $500,000 in traditional client services work. That's the beauty here. And they work hand in hand. So that's the pitch. Like, that's why I think this is a killer idea for accounting firms. Let's talk more about the nuts and bolts of membership communities. They are so hot right now. You may have seen School, S-K-O-O-L. It's super hot. Alex Hormozi made a big investment in it. And that's just like, they were already hot, but now you're just seeing communities crop up everywhere. And to be honest, I think they're a bit of a fad and surely must come down a bit from where they are now. But the ones that are going to go away are the general ones. Like, there's a number of creators out there, pretty much, I mean, a huge percentage of creators are just kind of trying to cash in on the whole community thing. But if you're building a community around productivity or how to scale, stuff like that, that's very, very general, I think that's probably the stuff that goes away. People come in for a few months and they bounce because that's not really specific enough for you to get value from your peers. A community done wrong looks like a fan club. A community is not a place for people to just come and learn from you. It's not another way to do that. Now, you may educate people and you may put content into the community, but the main goal of the community is to get people providing value to each other. And this is not something to feel slimy about, as if you are somehow like delegating the responsibility to provide value. No, your value is in your ability to bring all these people together who can share value with each other. That has a tremendous amount of value. And I've just gotten more and more convicted about this as I see how not great a lot of the communities that are getting stood up are and how they're not very specific and how I'm like, boy, just about any accounting firm owner could do this better because they are grounded in actual expertise and they already have access to people that run the similar kind of businesses. Like the hard thing to do to get it off the ground on day one. Now, like I said, this absolutely shouldn't be limited to your current client list and it should not be free to your current clients. Do not do that. Again, there's the work that you do one-on-one with them. And this is not a replacement for that because you're doing it all through the context of like their specific situation, right? This community, it is something completely different. The pricing is unrelated. The value you're providing is totally unrelated. This is not something that you open the door to for your clients. I mean, you let them in if they're going to pay, but it should not be something that's free. Excitingly, it extends your bubble a bit. We've talked about like social media marketing and running your newsletter and all that. And those are all kind of ways to like extend your circle of influence beyond just your client list. 95% of accounting firms, the only people that ever get value from those firms are just the ones on the client list. And it really benefits you to be thinking beyond that because then when a client comes in, they already trust your expertise, they'll pay more. You'll actually be attracting external clients then rather than just relying on word of mouth. And what is a better referral source than a community? I talked about this in the this coming Sunday's video, but the wild thing, and I see this in my own membership community. So like I am biased in all this stuff because my own membership community is how I paid for this content in the early days and like got all this stuff off the ground. But the wild thing about communities is you'll have a person who will tell a friend about it and get a friend to join. And the friend will join because their friend is already there. Like what? Like the fact that their friend is there is a selling point of your community. And it's a much, much easier thing to refer somebody to than a new accountant, which comes with switching costs and headaches and having to divorce your current accountant and just kind of everything tied up in that. And so it's an easier thing to refer to. But then if those people do hang around in the community for a while and they end up liking you, taking a member and actually like pulling them up to the varsity team and they become a client, I mean, that's just a way better client, right? Like they already know how you work. They're probably going to be perfectly happy to pay you more. So it's not only a cool, compelling business in a silo, like on its own, this community, it makes the rest of your business better too. And it's this killer marketing machine that just works by those people providing value to each other. This episode is sponsored in part by LiveFlow. Have you heard the news? You hear the big news? LiveFlow now will sync your QuickBooks data to Excel. And if you're a longtime listener of this podcast, you have sat through, let me tell you, you've sat through a lot of ad reads about LiveFlow syncing QuickBooks data out to Google Sheets. And if you're not a Google Sheets user, you've been like, Jason, what the H, man? I don't use Google Sheets. What gives? Well, good news. Now, all those reports and QuickBooks that you just love, that you think about when you go to sleep at night, that you carved into the partition on that bathroom stall wall in high school, all those QuickBooks reports, you can now sync to Excel with LiveFlow. Big day, fam. Big day. It means if you already got a sheet that you love, you can make it smart by connecting it to the actual accounting file. Either sync data in once or set it to sync on an ongoing basis. Think of all the data that you got living in QuickBooks that's kind of just captive there and somebody has to log in to see it, that you could instead sync out to a spreadsheet that you could give like a different set of people access to. People are using it for everything from like managing month-end closes to like giving a board access to giving employees access to specific information without giving them access to the QuickBooks file to working around like user limits and the licensing. Pretty cool. And now it works with Excel. Yay! Learn more about LiveFlow in the link in the show notes. This episode is sponsored in part by Copilot. You ever struggle with client portals that just, they're just not quite what you need, you know? They like, they don't have all the stuff you want, or you want to tailor them, or even want it to look different for client A than it does for client B. Check out Copilot. It is like a hyper flexible portal platform. They call themselves actually a platform rather than just an app, because what they want is for you to build the portal of your dreams on top of it. Super customizable, even change what it looks like by client or by client group. And they recently launched an app store. So like custom integrations, like stuff built on top of the portal itself. They got a whole library now of stuff that you can pull into it, or you can actually hire a developer to build something like completely from scratch to augment your client portal experience. How cool is that? Like theoretically you can build just about anything into there, connect it with like third-party apps. Copilot's got a great API, so you can even wire up some of your own stuff with, you know, Zapier or Make, that sort of thing. Because we all know what it looks like to have like a disjointed client portal experience, or ask them to jump around to a bunch of different places. Nobody likes that. It makes you look bad. Think about it. You want to level up that client portal? Check out Copilot. Link in the show notes. Now, a lot of nuts and bolts in there, I know. Like, how do I get people to talk to each other, and how do I get them to actually consistently engage and all that? We're gonna talk about some of that in this episode here. Because these communities are getting so big, there is a good amount of like helpful information out there online that you can dig into. Loads of videos on, from a more general standpoint, like how to build this stuff. Some really interesting statistics about membership communities now. The largest segment of membership communities are business focused, bigger than education, bigger than health and fitness, bigger than sales and marketing, bigger than personal development is business. Communities around specific types of businesses. 2/3 of membership communities have been created just in the last 3 years. So for the people saying, oh, this has always been a thing, I'm telling you, it's way more of a thing right now than it has been in the past. And people are looking for communities for folks like them. The fact that they see communities happening for other domains and they hear about their friends and other people getting into communities makes them more likely to join a community when they see one that's great for them. 42% of established communities have over 1,000 people in them. I don't need to tell you like what the economics of that look like, but they are good. 45% of established membership communities bring in 6 figures a year. And the investment into the tools in this space right now, you may have seen Circle. That's the platform I use. School, S-K-O-O-L. Mighty Networks. There's a whole bunch of platforms now that are like purpose-built for this stuff. But that's in addition to kind of more the OGs like Facebook groups, Slack, Discord. And an important thing when you're thinking about like shipping a community is there's added friction to get people to commit to going out to a new place, to a different platform. Like, how am I going to get them to log into this new thing on an ongoing basis? It's harder. But if I can steer you in a direction here, if they can find value, they're going to go somewhere else. Like, they will log into this other platform. The free stuff and the stuff that's on Facebook, Slack, Discord, where people already live, while it's easier to get people into those, the functionality is just like not there compared to dedicated community platforms. I'm generally not a fan of free communities because there's no skin in the game. Like, people have nothing to lose by coming in and like being an a-hole, or just coming in to take rather than to give, as opposed to a community with like a reasonably high barrier to entry. Because folks are paying to be there, they're much more motivated to get value out of it. And for every new member that comes in, they have skin in the game. They have stakes. They are motivated to contribute and be part of the community because they have stakes. As opposed to a free community where nobody has any stakes. They're just all kind of sniffing around. And like the moderation and the management side of it then is a monster, because you've got all these people who aren't paying a thing to be there. Generally, like, have no incentive to behave because they can come in and just dip. The two big things I think people get stuck on when they're thinking about this, how do I get that initial wave of people to join? That is hard. Like, there's this network effect of like, well, there has to be a certain number of people in there for it to actually be valuable, for people to actually add value to each other. Now, that number doesn't have to be maybe as big as you think it has to be. It doesn't have to be 50, but it all boils down to, what is my offer? Like, what, How can I make this feel like people have nothing to lose and that they would feel dumb for saying no? We talk about this quite a bit when it comes to standing up a compelling offer, like on your accounting firm landing page, where people will scroll through and be like, well, why would I not do this? And that may be like a limited time project before they actually become a client. The goal is to get them on a page where they scroll through and they're like, well, I would be dumb to say no to this. And this is, a lot of these ideas are from $100 Million Offers, the book. And so it just comes down to like building something compelling enough to where people will be like, yeah, I got to do this. I don't want to miss out. Now, from my own experience, I launched Realize, my membership community, maybe 3 years ago or something like that, on Twitter with 680 followers. That was the only audience that I had. Twitter, 680 followers. It takes less than you think it does. And that launched with 65 people. Now, most of us, we already have an existing client base, many of whom would buy in. And if you have any sort of newsletter, like email newsletter, anything like that, that helps also. But also don't lose sight of the fact that your clients will probably happily refer their friends who are in this line of work to the community and are much more likely to do so than they are to refer those folks for accounting work or tax work or something like that, because that's just a harder referral to make. So how do I get that initial wave of people in there? That's one of the big ones to solve for. And then second, what do we do? Like what even happens inside of a membership community? And if you've been inside a bunch, this is probably easier for you to visualize. But if you haven't, the smartest thing anybody ever told me was to think about a community in terms of it being like the product of its rituals. What are the things that happen inside of a community on a recurring basis? Because a community cannot be this thing where you're like, you know, the Wallace and Gromit GIF where he's like cruising down the railroad tracks and he's putting down the tracks right in front of the cart as you go. It can't be that, because people will stay in a community to the degree that they are looking forward to future things happening and they don't want to miss out. If there's nothing on the event calendar and if they don't know what's coming next, there's no reason for them to hang around, right? So rituals are recurring things that those people can continue to look forward to. And those rituals, in a perfect world, are things that are facilitating connections between different people in the community. So sessions in a community can be like based in, you know, expertise. They can be you doing some sort of talk on a specific topic. They can be you doing Q&A. But the even better version of that is when you're pulling in external experts to come in and, you know, give a talk or do Q&A. Even better, internal members coming in and doing talks and sharing their experience and all that. And so much of this is about just acknowledging that there is massive value in just talking and connecting with other people that do what you do. If you run a firm, if you're a manager, whatever you are, you go to conferences, wherever you connect with people, you know, man, just how powerful it is to be able to get connected with the person who deeply understands what you do. There's nothing more energizing and nothing like lights up the path of what you need to do next, quite like talking with someone who's already done it. And it's the kind of thing that, I mean, shaves years off your journey. I've shared the story before of how we moved the firm, the entire firm, to a new practice management system. And it was probably about a 12-month process. And we were 2 months post-conversion. It was so much work, so much cost. And I realized this is the wrong system. So what do you do at that point? When you've got 40 people going in one direction, you've wasted probably six figures at that point in hard costs. I mean, months, collectively years of people's time working on this project. And 2 months in, you're like, well, we made the wrong decision. On paper, like everything says, well, if you made the wrong decision, you just like sunk cost fallacy, you got to switch again. You just got to do it. And we did. And man, did it suck. And you know how I ended up there? Was because I was making decisions based on what salespeople were telling me, which is like just the most asinine thing you could ever, I mean, what do you think the outcome of that's going to be? But that's what we do. Until you know people who do what you do and you can ask, hey, does this tool do what it says it does? Tell me about your transition to that thing. The ability to see into that. Put a dollar value on like the value of that. Put a dollar value to making friends who do this stuff that help you understand how to have pricing conversations with clients and stuff like that. I mean, it's astronomically valuable, but you are making these connections happen by creating the space for them to happen. That's the beauty of community. And so ultimately these rituals, the things you're doing over and over again, they can be all sorts of different stuff. You can do mastermind groups like connecting different people. You can do socials. You can do all sorts of different stuff. ultimately, what you're trying to do is create these connections so that a couple people may be like, hey, you want to chat offline, or you want to hang around on this Zoom and talk more about that thing that you were just talking about. And before you know, like, you've connected these folks in a way that is going to enable both of them. There's probably nothing I'm more proud of in all of the stuff that I've done than having connected humans. Like, I've had so many situations where I'll go to conferences and I'll be with a person that I know, and we see another person that I know, and I don't know that these two folks know each other, and they're like over the moon, so excited to see each other. And I'm like, I didn't know that you knew this person. And they're like, yeah, we met because we went to this thing that you did and we totally hit it off there, and we've been chatting ever since. We talk every other week. Like, stuff like this where I'm like, are you kidding me? And then they go to a conference where they wouldn't otherwise know this person. They've got like a best friend there to hang out with. Like, if you've experienced this, you know how powerful it is for you. Imagine being able to provide this at scale for folks that do the type of work that your clients do. Like, you want to talk about purpose when it comes to running an accounting firm and like meaningful change, man, it doesn't get much better than this. Because if you sat down in a room with you and all the other clients that you have around a certain domain, all my beekeeping clients, if I sat in a big old room with me and all my beekeeping clients, if another beekeeper walks in the door, think just how much more value they have to be gleaned from the entire room than just from you. That's a community. That's the power of it. And you're probably still struggling with like, well, who am I to do this? You're the one that has the connections. They don't. And so when you create the space for that value transaction to happen, for them to exchange value with their peers, that value, like, you're the one that brought it into existence. So it's also attributed back to you. And that's why they're paying you to be there. Honestly, I look around at like, who are all the other people that can create these communities? Influencers. That's the big one. You've got big influencers who generally are not like built on top of super specific subjects. It's more generally, you know, like Thomas Frank, productivity. Like, I think of those types of think boys, and they're not super specific. So those communities are not all that compelling to me. And I just really struggle with who out there like can create as compelling of a community as accountants, because it is so grounded in finance, something that is so central to everything about running that business, right? This episode is sponsored in part by Firm 360. You made it past the deadline, but do you have the right tools headed into next year? It's change season, man, where you revisit what worked and what didn't work. And I will tell you, the minimum point of entry for an accounting firm these days is a solid cloud practice management system to keep all the goods in order. My Firm 360, they're just that. They're doing it all in one place. Project management, document management, client management, e-cigs, time and billing, advanced reporting. We did that roundup last year of like 14 leading cloud practice management systems. Firm 360 is on the list and way ahead of the curve, specifically on time and billing. It's always been kind of a weakness of cloud practice management systems. Firm 360 in particular put a ton of thought into that. A lot of the other PMs, like, still, you got to bolt on sort of other adjacent tools, and you end up having like split data in this system and then the other data over here in this billing system. Man, you want that all in one place. Makes your life so much easier. If you are sniffing around new PMs, check this one out. Firm 360, put a link in the show notes. This episode is brought to you in part by TeamUp, helping you recruit top Filipino accountants without any ongoing monthly fees. The difference between TeamUp and all the other offshoring options is that TeamUp helps you hire staff directly. No middleman. You work directly with your new hire in the Philippines. Hire the person, not the company. Guys, gals, gang, here's just a few reasons to hire directly. You have access to higher level talent. Makes sense. You have complete control over team culture and training. They keep 100% of what you pay them, and it's a lot more affordable for you, so you can retain your team for the long term. TeamUp can source accountants with experience working at US or Australian firms, familiar with tools like Xero, QBO, and Dex. Also recruit specialist roles, team leaders, tax specialists, administrative assistants. Thought experiment. What if you had an executive assistant for the first time this tax season? Just throwing it out there. What would they do? Start at that email video I did on the main channel recently. Get help with that stanky old inbox. I digress. TeamUp recruits these talented folks for a flat one-time fee of $4,000. That's it. $4,000 one time. Somebody at Robert Half just did a spit take. Robert Half reference. we ever going to get Robert Half to sponsor this podcast? Not anymore. And they can connect you with an affordable employer of record if you need help with payroll and compliance once you hire that person. Big fan of hiring in the Philippines. You know I did a bunch of that. Check out the link in the description to learn more about TeamUp. If you've done this before, I'd actually love to hear from you. Drop a comment down below. In fact, I'm curious like what your thoughts are on this. Is this interesting to you? Is this scary? I'm so bullish on this. I'm actually going to do a 4-week workshop in my community on this. 4 1-hour Zoom meetings going through the nuts and bolts of how to build this stuff out. And when we do these workshops, everybody is there in a shared workspace together. So things like coming up with ideas for what my recurring rituals will be, everybody puts that on a board where everyone else can see it. So you can literally see everyone else as they're working and like grab all of your favorite ideas for what your community will look like. So we're gonna try to make that 4 weeks as practical as possible, down to like actually designing like what is the killer offer that'll get 50 people in there from day one. I'll go super deep on what I did to launch Realize for 65 people. Actually, I'll tell you what the focuses of the 4 weeks are. Let me pull this up here. I'm very excited about this. Like, I think this could be a pretty big thing. So week one, we're gonna be exploring the most successful communities on the web to see what their rituals are. We're gonna make a humongous list. Everybody's gonna throw all this stuff up on a board. And coming out of week one, the goal is to have a super rich list of all sorts of ideas for what the ongoing rituals and content could be so that you're not like on this hamster wheel of having to somehow come up with new stuff every single month. So the goal coming out of week one is you'll know exactly what the community will be doing and how you'll make those connections across people. Week two is how you launch, how you make that killer offer to get a like critical mass of people in there to make it useful, from like the messaging to how to make this feel like an absolute no-brainer for somebody to plop down some bucks to get started. That launch hook is different than what keeps people there long-term. There's the thing that gets them in the door, but then there's the thing that keeps them to stay. And those are gonna be really two different things. And they have to be, I think, because the problem when there's nobody in a community yet is there's no one there to get value from. So you can't say, come and get value from all these people when there's nobody there, right? So like that initial hook has to be different. Week three is how you like automate the ongoing marketing of this. And I know we're not marketers and we're not social media celebrities and all that stuff, but it's more about like, how do I consistently plug this across all the various things that I do to get like a steady sort of drip of new folks coming into the community? The interesting thing here is ultimately you are the gatekeeper for the community. Your main job is to find the next person who can make that community even better. You want to go out and find that super smart person, because if you get them to come in, this is not slimy sales. This is a really smart person coming into the community and helping everyone else, making everyone else smarter. Isn't that cool? Obviously, that's a great outcome for you because they're now a member. But by doing so, you're like putting this person in front of everyone else so that they can all learn from this new person that came in. And then week four, we're going to look more practically at like the platforms, how to decide, you know, what to host it on, which honestly, all this is like secondary, but I know it's a big blocker and we end up having like analysis paralysis on where to set this thing up. We're going to do that. I think in May, it is the first live workshop I've done in over a year. It's only 4 hours in total. You can literally sign up for the community for a month and then bounce. We'll do it within a month, which basically means you'd be paying $180 for like a 4 hours of workshop stuff there. I feel like I've been shilling my community a lot lately. I don't shill things generally. Let me tell you why. The people that I want in my membership community and Realize, there's a community just for like firm leadership. The people I want in that community are the people who tune into this podcast every day. I don't talk about that community externally anywhere. I don't sponsor stuff. I don't give away memberships, because the reason that it's good is the only people that ever hear about it are the ones that are like 20 minutes deep into a super nerdy video. And when those are the only people coming into the community, you look to your left and you look to your right and you're like, oh, you're all weirdos like I am. And that's what makes it such a special place. Like, you come in and everybody has that sort of really unique shared thing where, you know, in your firm, in the people you bump into every other day, there probably isn't another person that you know that listens to my content. But if you are skeptical every single morning listening to Jason Daly, and then you go into your firm and occasionally like share a video here with your team or this or that, the reality is like you don't probably know any other firm owners that also share that vision for how to run an accounting firm. And when the only way people find the community is like the people who are geeked and into it super deep and bought into the vision and excited about it, when those are the only people coming in, it makes it a weird space in some ways, but also a really, had it not been for those people, like I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have ever like been able to commit to the content. Wouldn't be able to do stuff like run a daily podcast that hopefully is helping a whole bunch of people and getting a much better, healthier version for the future of the profession out there. It is very humbling to see like charts and graphs go up. And then you go to a conference and you meet the actual people and they tell you the stories and you're like, man, that's really cool. The reality of making a daily podcast for me is I sit in a garage. I work out of a garage still. And let me tell you, some days it is cold. My heating cooling situation, we're so far off the rails now. There's a metal duct on the side of this wall. The previous owner literally cut a hole in the wall, cut a hole in the side of the HVAC in the next room, ran a tube through this hole that then goes up through the ceiling and put like a floor vent on the side of the HVAC tube. It's not a tube. What's the word for it? So like the vent that you would see on the ground is taped to the side of a tube right next to me. I've actually masking taped over it because it blows right on my face. Anyways, I can understand how like the social media influencer, all that stuff like may look sexy, but boy, the day to day is not. And it's why I love conferences so much and Q&A Fridays and stuff like that, is it's like you get to actually hang with the people that you enjoy hanging with and like share real human stories and all that. And that may be like, that's cool. I'm really happy for you, Jason. But don't sell yourself short to think that you couldn't create something similar. Because all the entrepreneurs that you work with have the same problems with isolation and not knowing other people that do what they do. It's worth remembering, cool things exist and happen and come to be because people will them into existence. Regular, everyday, ordinary people. And there aren't many like cooler, higher callings than to be able to create a really cool space for entrepreneurs to share their journey with each other. Is it a killer business? Is it a great high leverage opportunity for your firm? Yes. But could it also be like the highest impact thing you put out into the world, enabling all those people to add value and build relationships with each other? Like it might be. Okay, obviously you know that I'm excited about this stuff. I've been learning more and more about what people do when they listen to this podcast. Peter, I know you've been on the elliptical for a while. I'll wrap it up. I'm sorry. I think we're up past 40 minutes now. If you have experience with community running, stuff like that, I would love to see it in the comments. I'm trying to find more accountants who have done this through the lens of an accounting firm before. I'm not super interested in the free community stuff. Like I'm more interested in like, here's a premium community where folks are going to come in with stakes, be motivated to contribute because they're paying to be there so that you can help them to connect with like-minded entrepreneurs. Super bullish on that. If you got experience with that, would love to hear from you. Thanks for coming and hanging. I'll see you tomorrow.